This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It's hour two on this Thursday. Good morning. Thanks for joining us, Dan and the Danettes. Dan Patrick Show, whether you're listening on the radio or you're watching and listening on Peacock, our streaming partner, we say good morning to you. Mike Krzyzewski will join us coming up here in about 20 minutes from now. Phone calls always welcome, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle, @DPShow. I can now say it, Bo Jackson, Hall of Famer. Kansas City Royals Hall of Famer. I don't know why it took this long for Bo. He didn't have a lengthy baseball career or football career for that matter. We've talked about this before on the show. If you could take away an injury from a player and just imagine what that career or careers would have been, Bo Jackson would be a number one seed because we saw what he could be in football, Heisman Trophy winner. Had some memorable touchdown runs, moments with the Raiders. And then, even with the Royals, he had memorable moments as well. He would just do things where you go, that's not possible. That didn't just happen. And Bo overcame a lot. And, you know, Paulie brought this up to me, and I didn't realize this. But I interviewed Bo after he won the Heisman. In New York City, I was at CNN. He came up to CNN, and we sat down to do an interview. And I was told by the PR people, his handlers, he's got a speech impediment, and he may struggle with certain things. And, you know, he did. He wasn't a great interview, but it was still Bo won the Heisman Trophy. And Paulie said, you know, the expression Bo knows, and I even have this, this is a baseball it looks like a baseball, but if you're watching on Peacock, it says Bo knows. And it's like a sign. And then the other one was, Bo, just do it all. And I've kept this. This is, you know, probably 30 years old, but I kept it because I keep everything. And Paulie said the reason why Nike came up with Bo knows is because Bo didn't want to say I because I was a trigger word for his speech impediment. And when he's talking to the Nike people about a shoe, remember the cross trainer, he created his own category. There was not a cross trainer, you know, multi-sport shoe. And then everybody had to have a Bo Jackson cross trainer shoe. But Bo started saying, Bo likes that, or Bo this, or then it became Bo knows. That's how the ad campaign started. And it makes sense because he didn't want to use the word I because that was a trigger word for him. Fast forward years later, I played golf with him and Jim McMahon at Olympia Fields in Chicago. And Bo putts one-handed. I mean, he hits the ball a mile. And here's Jim McMahon drinking usually a 12-pack of beer each nine holes, and his game actually got better. And he and Bo going back and forth, and I just listened, you know, having conversations there. And, you know, Bo's done a lot of really good things, business things, and now going into the Royals Hall of Fame. But if you said, hey, take away that injury, and what would we have had with Bo? Because Bo is the one player, even though we all saw him, there was still this myth attached to him. Because if you said, hey, did you hear what Bo did? You'd believe it because he was Bo Jackson. And you're not seeing all of his games, all of his at-bats back then. And therefore, you might get some highlights. Maybe you're not going to see a game, more than likely. The All-Star game you saw him. But Bo was just one of those guys that you went, wow, if not for that injury, what would we have seen? And I think he averaged over 5.5 yards per carry, somewhere around there, 5.4 yards per carry, which is crazy to average that. But I think it's, is it 5.4, Paulie?
It is. Bo Jackson played parts of four NFL seasons. He only had 515 carries. He averaged 5.4 a carry. Yeah. To put that in perspective, Emmett Smith and Walter Payton averaged 4.3, a yard less.
How many running backs have averaged over five? Is it
for a long career?
Barry, Jim Brown?
Jim Brown, and maybe like Fred Taylor has 4.8.
Well,
but if you're looking at five or plus yards a carry and having more than 5,000 yards, there's maybe like Jamal Charles might be in that mix.
Eric Dickerson?
I don't even think Dickerson is.
OJ?
No.
Okay.
I'm checking though.
But Bo averaging 5.4.
He had four runs of 90 yards in his career.
He ran into the tunnel that one time and just kept going. And then he knocked over Brian Bosworth at the goal line that one time when they played against Seattle. Yeah, Paulie.
If you think about it, when the post went out on social media, I think by the Kansas City Royals yesterday, Bo Jackson is going in the Hall of Fame. I didn't think for a second, you know, his numbers are not really Hall of Fame worthy. I actually thought, of course he is.
Yeah.
Hall of Fame.
Fame.
And he was...
not Hall of Stats, Hall of Fame.
He was a magnet when he came up to the plate.
But Seton had a problem with Orlando retiring Shaq's jersey. We come in today and I go, got a problem with, you know, Royals retiring? You know, he's going in their Hall of Fame? Seton's like, no.
Hell no.
Not at all. Meanwhile, Shaq had a better career with Orlando than Bo had with the Royals. But Bo is going into the Kansas City Royals Hall of Fame. Why did it take so long for a nondescript franchise? It's like Orlando. Why did it take so long to retire Shaq's jersey?
Bo last played for the Royals in 1990. So they needed 33 years. You know what? Let's have another meeting on this
one. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if he was that good.
He was on the Royals for 4 or 5 years. And the one thing about his hip injury, everyone says he would have been the greatest NFL running back. He was really hitting his stride as a baseball player. His last year in Kansas City, he had drastically reduced his strikeouts. He had upped his on-base percentage. He hit .272 with 30 homers his last year in Kansas City before the hip injury.
Yeah. I remember George Brett talking about first time he saw Bo Jackson, and he couldn't get over how somebody that big could be that fast. And he had an unbelievable arm, and he had unbelievable power. He wasn't a great hitter, average-wise, but when he hit it, he got it. Yes, Paulie.
I have the running backs who average more, 5 or more yards per carry in their career.
Okay.
And you have to have at least, like, let's say 4,000 yards to make this list.
Okay.
Jamal Charles, 5.4, and he had 7,500 yards. Okay. Nick Chubb is currently there. He's at 5.3.
Whoa.
Which is nuts. Jim Brown, Mercury Morris, limited, smaller window. Aaron Jones of the Packers is at 5 yards a carry in his career.
Dang.
Gale Sayers is 5. Barry Sanders is 5. Jonathan Taylor of the Colts is 5, and that's it.
Mm.
Woo! Ow! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! This is the stat of the day!
Stat of the day! Brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. Take me up on the offer. Every person who places a tailgate moonshine order gets 50% off their next order at the merch store. You can shop at danpatrick.com. The code will be emailed to you within 48 hours of your tailgate purchase.
Trying to figure out a bracket-style tournament for moonshine.
Mm.
Maybe we pit, like, East versus West, like, break it up just like the tournament,
mm.
but it's moonshine-based.
Mm. Okay. Yeah.
Moonshine Madness.
Yeah, right. Thus, Moonshine Madness.
Yeah.
Get it?
No bids at stake tonight. That's I don't think so.
What's up with that?
I can't watch then. I got to have something that says championship game.
It's called the Big East Tournament.
Oh.
Greatest tournament.
Oh, come on now.
In college basketball.
I have friends who go to the Big East Tournament. It's at the Garden. And they don't even see any games. All they do is drink.
What? They purposely don't look at the games, but no, they're in the Garden?
They don't go to the game. They go to the bar at the game. And I go, okay. And they go, we like the atmosphere. We don't need to go to the game. But that, you know, occasionally if their alma mater is playing, then they'll walk out and go, oh, Providence is playing. Okay, I've seen enough. A couple of phone calls in here. What's poll question for hour two, Seton?
You know, we're going to stick with this banger for a little while. Because
we're upsetting so many fan bases.
Oh, my God, are we ever. Are we ever.
First of all, the Bills lost by a field goal, and they had a fourth string defense out there. How could they even be going in the wrong direction?
Well, they're losing players. You know who lost a lot of players? A lot of players.
Yeah, they're losing veteran expensive players, Dan. It's called smart management.
The Ravens lost a lot of players.
What?
Yeah, they did. Like, it's one of those that there's no big name there, but there are players, and you go, dang.
Did they lose them or let them go?
Well, Patrick Queen.
We wish him all the best in his future endeavors. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What else are we going to... So give the poll question there, Seton.
Which NFL team feels like it's going in the wrong direction? Just feels like, right. Okay? Right. You can disagree with it. Okay. It's okay. Right now, the Giants have 31% of the vote, followed by the Panthers, Titans, Bills, Pats, Jaguars, only 6% of the vote.
All right. Yeah, I can see the Giants leader in the clubhouse there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Panthers, going to be a little while. Yeah, Paul?
How can the Panthers be going any more in the wrong direction? There's nowhere else to go. You can't have negative wins. I think you're capped at zero. They're bad. Their quarterback they drafted isn't working out so far. They are losing talented players on both sides of the ball.
But they can't be worse, can they?
On paper, they have a worse team next year.
Okay.
But their quarterback would have a year of experience, Bryce Young.
Yeah.
Like the Chargers feel they're 5-12 last year, but their salary cap issues make it feel not good. Like, it's always promising with the Chargers. New coach, et cetera.
Yeah, and you missed your window with Justin Herbert with his rookie deal, and you got some big contracts there. Bosa, Khalil Mack. You know, they just got rid of Mike Williams. Austin Eckler's gone. So I'm sure that Jim Harbaugh realized this when he was interviewing, that this is the direction you're going to have to take. I don't know if they take a step back that they have less than 5 wins, but does feel like they need to reload here a little bit. Let's see, a couple of phone calls here. Oh, by the way, I have some interesting over-unders. Over-under Saquon Barkley touchdowns against the Giants during the regular season. 2 meetings with the Giants. DraftKings over-under... Charles might be able to score against the Giants. Todd, over under. Touchdown, Saquon Barkley.
2.5.
Okay, I'm going to give it to you. It's 2.
Ooh, ooh.
All right. Oh, no, no. What?
They don't do that in Vegas. They don't give it to you.
Just for time reasons. Oh. Yeah.
That's tough.
He's not getting the ball at the goal line, I'll tell
Derek
you.
Derrick Henry to score, well, I'll give you the, you give me the over under. Derrick Henry over under rushing touchdowns regular season. Paul.
8.5.
All right. Marvin.
10.5.
Seton.
9.5.
Todd.
11.5.
Gus Edwards ran for 13 touchdowns for the Ravens last year. I could have given you that hint. Derrick Henry, 15 or more rushing touchdowns.
Whoa. Whoa.
Yes. How about over-under Christian McCaffrey rushing yards? No, I'll do Derrick Henry first. Over-under Derrick Henry rushing yards, according to DraftKings. Marvin.
1,200.
Paul.
1,160.
Todd.
947.
Seton.
950.
999.5.
Come on. That's a troll line.
That is a troll line.
999.5 rushing yards. Christian McCaffrey, over under rushing yards. Marvin.
2,300.
yeah. Paulie.
1,320.
Right. Todd.
1,408.
Seton.
999.5.
1,200 and a half yards. 1,200 and a half. Here's one for you. Danielle Hunter, who just went to the Texans. He always gets double-digit sacks every year, right? Marvin, over, under, total sacks, Danielle Hunter.
10.5.
Bloop, bloop, bloop.
Yeah, nailed it. Nailed it.
Over, under, sacks for Chris Jones in Kansas City, Todd.
I'm going to say 11.5.
Ooh.
It's going to be low.
It's 11.75.
Oh, that is so stupid. That's the dumbest.
11.75.
No, so it's either 11.5 or you're taking 12.
Get out of here.
Get out of here.
Please leave my presence.
Phil, joining us from Madrid. Hi, Phil.
Hey, Dan.
Hey. Yeah.
510, 165. Yeah, so living here in Madrid now, originally from Cincinnati. So, heading to Dublin tomorrow. I was just calling in, checking in to see what sort of recommendations, any place to check out, where to eat, what to drink, all that sort of stuff, since you guys just went not too long ago.
Okay. All right. Temple Bar was wonderful. If you go in, ask for the bartender, who is self-named Messi. He is the Messi of bartenders, not M-E-S-S-Y.
Was the bar with the...
That little phone booth there.
The Palace.
Is that what it is?
I think it was the Palace Bar.
Is it right behind you, Seton? There's a license plate on the bar up top. I thought that was Temple Bar.
Yeah, Temple Bar.
Yeah.
I thought the neighborhood was Temple Bar and the bar was the Palace, but I'm not sure. The one with the little snug in front.
Yeah, the little snug.
Snug.
So ask for Messi, the bartender, and see if he'll give you a little bit of a red breast whiskey that he has on staff. He stashed it away. Let's see. What else do we love? What's the university over there?
Trinity.
Trinity. You get a chance, take a tour of the library.
Great place.
It was under construction when we were there, but still, it's a pretty awesome campus right there in downtown Dublin. You can't go wrong in the area. It's
the Book of Kells.
Yes, Book of Kells. Yeah. Yeah, Paul.
Also, there's also a brewery on one side of town. You may have heard of it. It's pretty popular locally.
Guinness?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look it up.
It is. It's a great tour.
Go to a Bohemians game.
Oh, that's right.
Soccer team.
You know what? I've almost ordered a Bohemian jersey.
Yeah, they're dope, dude. They're
great.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
They have a lot of different ones and
I'm
messages.
Really mad that I didn't go to a game while we were there.
Yeah, I saw that. No, kind of all the rage there. Bohemian. Yeah.
The Bows.
All right, let me take a break. We'll get to more phone calls. Up next, Mike Krzyzewski will join us back after this.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Whoa, okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Today's Mercedes-Benz interview of the day, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz EV. What makes a Mercedes-Benz EV different? Electric is what gets you there, but Mercedes is what moves you. The vehicle, all electric, the feeling, all Mercedes. The choice, all yours. Learn more at MBUSA.com/EQ. He's the Hall of Fame coach, former Duke head coach. He's Mike Krzyzewski, obviously lonely, needing a friend, needing somebody to talk to. And here I am once again, Coach. What would you like to talk about today?
Well, I went through my list and I got to the bottom.
Yep.
And there you were.
Yep. I'm always here for you. Always here for you. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. I had a big operation in January on my ankle and foot, and it's taken a couple months to get over, but I'm starting to walk around a little bit. So that's good.
If Nick Saban had called you 3 months ago and said, what is retirement like? What advice would you have told Nick Saban?
Well, you know, he's done pretty well. He's got another gig. So I didn't want another gig. I would say that make sure that you want to stop coaching, first of all, and then have a plan. I already had a plan. I have a lifetime contract at Duke, so I have my same office, and I'm in my same conference room right now, and I'm like an ambassador for the school, and I'm a professor at Fuqua. I got a lot going on at Duke, but then I speak a lot for the Washington Speakers Bureau, and I have a Sirius XM show. We have a huge nonprofit in Durham, the Emily Krzyzewski Center. We service about 2,000 kids, and I got 10 grandkids. I'm a happy guy. I'm doing everything that I like to do, and including being with you today.
Of course, of course. Yeah. Tougher to be removed from the sport at the start of basketball season or tournament time?
It's not been tough at any time. You know, I was ready to move on. By the way, I'm also advising for the NBA, so I'm at all their meetings, the competition committee, the GM meetings, and that's been really, really good. But, you know, I love the game. I watch the game. I see more of the ACC teams than I've ever seen. And I'm interested, and I try to help, Coach Shire in whatever way I can. But, I don't miss the coaching. Probably the only thing I miss is the relationship between, me and a player, because, you know, that's what I spent my whole life doing.
Where's NIL heading?
Wow. You're goodbye. I didn't get out. I didn't stop. Plus, I don't like the word get out. I didn't retire. Get out means like I wanted to escape for something.
Yeah.
I didn't retire because of the new environment in college sports. It would have been exciting to try to adapt to that because during my 40, 50 years, you have to keep adapting. This is the biggest adaptation, I think, in the history of college athletics. It's not been coordinated. We don't have a leader. We don't even know who to call into a meeting to discuss what needs to be discussed. This has been 3 years now, Dan, and it shows the state of the NCAA 3 years ago, and the fact that it has not been able to do a damn thing in these 3 years. And instead of complaining about what it is, just accept the fact that this is a new time. And just because it isn't like the old doesn't mean it's not okay. This is what it is. And we should figure out how to do what it is in the best interest of everyone. And I think it's an exciting time if you had leadership and an organization to put your arms around it.
But NIL wasn't supposed to be a recruiting tool.
No, you're right.
But that's it's become.
Well, because there weren't any guidelines. In other words, we should have anticipated. NIL, the intended consequences of NIL are pure. A youngster gets, because of their abilities, their talents, they get different opportunities. That's good. That's really good. But what we've done is we form collectives and to pay players, basically. Hey, that's the way it is right now. If there was a plan, there's never been a plan, So as a result, the entrepreneurial spirit of our country, of people, takes it to unintended consequences that I don't know are necessarily bad. Maybe we should have gotten there already. But instead of bringing everything back, let's say this is where it is right now. How can we organize it? How can it be transparent? If you ran the Knicks and I ran the Celtics, I know everything. And you, in college sports, you do not know that. There's no transparency. That I don't think that's good because then I don't trust you. You don't trust me.
But what you're saying, there should be transparency, that you should know what Clemson is spending or Notre Dame is spending. That lets
in some way, can we create, and maybe I would think that we could do that, but if not, what's the model? What model do we have?
That's the NCAA calling you right now, Coach.
Yeah, it's my agent saying, "What am I doing? What am I doing on this show? You're ruining your ability to attract people." The transparent. I think it's good for kids to make money. I think it's good.
But should we know how much they're making?
In some way, we should know that. But in some respects, they are independent contractors, and so people say, do we bring them all under one umbrella and are they paid by the university? It's complicated, but that's what leadership should figure out. That's what big business does. That's what countries do. That's what, but who is doing that?
So you have no faith in the NCAA right now?
Well, I haven't had faith in the NCAA for a long time. And
just want to clarify that.
But what I think is the NCAA is a really good organization. The thing the NCAA does the best is run championships for Division I, II, and III. And they run them in an outstanding manner. There's probably a level of rules or something that keeps us all together that we could have. But, you know, like Charlie Baker has put out, maybe there should be this elite division, or basically saying, what is football going to do? Well, let's find out what football is going to do. And if there's going to be another division, what does that do to the other three divisions? In other words, you don't just throw out stuff without saying, if they do this, it will lead to this. Yeah. And yeah, it doesn't make sense to me. And we spend a lot of time now trying in Congress so that we are protected antitrust-wise. And some of that is good, I think. But it's the purpose of it. If we're protected, let's go back to the old structure. See, I think we should restructure the NCAA. We should restructure college athletics, and then figure this thing out. What happens in the NCAA, in their transformation committees and all these committees, they're inundated with compliance people who are rule oriented, and they're good at that. Like, I have 10 rules and I'm going to make you obey them, or I'm going to punish you. That's not what we should be doing. Now, we should be, an entrepreneur doesn't think that way. And by the way, they should be an entrepreneur because they have this asset that's worth $1 billion that should be worth more if they negotiated it better. And it's a treasure. It's what makes the NCAA go. It's called the NCAA tournament. And we're in it right now because it started with all the conference tournaments to see who gets in.
He's the Hall of Fame coach, Mike Krzyzewski. I talked to Jim Boeheim about possibly expanding the tournament, and he was fine with 96. And I said, well, that's the regular season. I mean, everybody gets an opportunity to make the tournament. You have conference tournaments. Why do we need to expand unless it's just money driven by the NCAA?
You know, Dan, I wish people would stop talking about changing the NCAA tournament right now. It's a treasure. It works. It's beautiful. You don't expand something not knowing what it's going to fit into in the future. We do not know the future of the NCAA, and the NCAA owns the tournament. Until we find out, are there going to be four divisions? How many are there going to be power conferences? Until you find that out, don't throw out 72, 78. I don't think.
Yeah.
It's a treasure right now. And during this time of the year, it's like a cool thing to talk about, expansion. And I wish Charlie Baker wouldn't talk about expanding it until he knows what his organization is going to be 5 years from now. And by the way, we're under contract for another 8 years, I think, because we screwed it up.
Yeah, but they break contracts all the time, Coach.
Yeah.
They do.
Well, yeah. But what I'm saying, Dan, is, it's pretty damn good right now. In fact, it's a treasure. It's priceless. And every kid right now who plays Division I basketball has a chance because of the conference tournaments. In other words, I wish we would publicize the conference tournaments that started last week. There were 8 or so buzzer beaters in the Atlantic Sun and Patriot League and all these things. And to celebrate the tournament from its start, that is the start of the tournament. And it lends itself into the 68. And that's the beauty of ours. There's no other sport that takes over a month. And then we're so good, we even take a week of April.
Yeah.
You know, now it's we got to be careful not to mess it up.
Would Caitlin Clark get the green light if you were her coach?
Damn right. Did J.J. Redick get the green light? I mean, you have...
Yeah, but she shoots... She had more range than J.J. Redick.
Not necessarily. I wouldn't go that far. She has more range than you.
Yeah, and, barely. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, but it's a little bit... You're a high percentage shooter, too.
Yes.
But
you would let her shoot from wherever she wanted to?
Well, I would love to coach her. I had her on my show about 2 months ago. She's genuine. I mean, she has a spirit. I would love to coach that spirit. I mean, she's courageous. She is not afraid to fail. And even in their Big Ten championship game, I think she had 4 points at halftime.
Yeah.
You know, and then she goes for 30 more. And it's great. And I love what the women's game has done over these last 2 years. They schedule big games early. They've highlighted their stars. They've gotten more exposure TV-wise. And I think that's so good for the game.
Does Duke have a plan in place for storming the court?
You know, this is crazy. From 1996 until I retired, we lost 70 road games. We won about two-thirds of our road games. In those 70 games, we had 58 court stormings.
Wow.
And we asked the ACC to do something about it. I said, well, it doesn't happen. I said, no, it happens to us. And they've never done anything. For Duke, our policy has been, just with me and the students, when I still coached, don't storm the court unless it's a championship. And in other words, don't let the opponent think that they're more important than our pursuit of a championship. And we have lived that. Every once in a while, like Dockery had a half-court shot like 20 years ago, and they did that. But we don't want that. We don't want to give our opponent that level of respect, you know, that the only respect we should have is for winning a league, the ACC tournament championship or the NCAA championship.
Yeah, but I don't know if we can stop these students. My thought was make sure you surround the opposing team.
Yeah.
It's incumbent that you get them off the floor safely, and then the university is liable if you happen to come on the floor after that. Like, no, more security for a bigger game.
Well, I think, though, you start out by saying we don't allow court stormings. The second step is you make sure you have security. And the third step is you fine. And if you fine, the team that gets stormed on gets the money. And because we would have made probably $1 million with all those storms.
That's true.
But in other words, there has to be some rule, just like we don't allow bank robbers, okay? That doesn't mean we don't have security in banks. And it doesn't mean that if someone breaks in the bank, we don't punish them. So I think you have to have some semblance of order with the recognition that there still will be some court stormings. And then what do you do when that happens? And in other words, there's some level of organization or, you know,
decorum.
We're all over the place a little bit.
Before I let you go, how long did it take you to learn how to spell your last name when you were growing up?
Yeah, forget about spelling it, saying it. And we lived in inner city Chicago. There, one of my uncles was a cop, and we lived on the north side and on the south side. My uncle Joe, and when we go there for Christmas, we'd get in and the first thing he would ask me is, what's my name? And so at 5 or 6, before I walk in, I'm asking my mom, What's my name? Krzyzewski. So I didn't have to spell it for a long time. Other people had to spell it, but it took me a while to pronounce it.
Good to catch up with you. If you get lonely, you need to talk to somebody. I'm always here.
Yeah, well, I've enjoyed our friendship, and I wish you would get rid of some of the clutter, though. You know,
I keep everything, Coach.
Yeah,
I do.
You're very possessive. You have
yes,
garage full of stuff.
Yes, and, yeah.
Well, I'm not knocking you. Just
it feels like it.
Well, I'm giving you a suggestion.
Okay, but I'm not saying, hey, get rid of the stuff in your office there. Seems like there's a little
bit of... Well, you wouldn't want to get rid of any of this stuff.
Good to talk to you.
All right.
Thank you, Coach. That's Coach K. KRZYZEWSKI. Take a break. Back after this.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
NBA fans, listen up. You got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is really simple. Select a player who will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for big cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using the promo code DPSHOW and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with the promo code DPSHOW, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Back to Coach K and what he's talking about with the expansion of the NCAA tournament, or at least the possibility of that. You know, it's for money. Because the NCAA has no control over college football. But it's called the NCAA, the College Basketball Championship, the NCAA tournament. And they can expand this, get more teams in there. There's more revenue in there. But as Coach K is saying, you got to be careful. Just tell me what it's going to be. You can't go, let's just expand it and see how it plays out. He's saying it's something special. Keep it something special. And be careful that you don't overextend yourself. Because we have a regular season, so you get seeded in your conference tournament, and you win your conference tournament, you get to go to the NCAA tournament. Really simple. Now if you have 96 possible bids there, now we're watering it down. It's not special. You know, we've said this about playoffs when it comes to how many teams make it. It's almost embarrassing if you don't make it in sports. Like your team didn't make it. Half the teams make it. Now we're going to say to 96 teams, 96 schools, hey, everybody's got a chance here. Okay. I just think you got to be careful of how much is too much. And I think that's what he's worried about. He had no problem calling out the NCAA and their president, Charlie Baker. Like, let's have some direction here. Where are we going with NIL? NIL is a recruiting tool. It was never supposed to be that. It was supposed to be when you got to school, then you could have a collective. Then you could make some money. Not, hey, what am I going to make here? And that's all this is anymore. And you have three-star recruits who are saying, how much am I making? Imagine what the five-star recruits are asking for and getting as well. A couple of phone calls in here. Dino in New York. Hi, Dino. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. How you doing?
Good, sir.
Heard you talking about Bo Jackson earlier, and you know, what a privilege it was to watch this guy play. I mean, we haven't seen anybody like him since. I mean, just you never knew what you were going to see. It was special every game, every handoff. You might see something you've never seen before, and more often than not, he delivered on that. Baseball, he was incredibly dynamic. You know, outfielder, he doesn't get enough credit for his arm. And let's give a lot of credit to Al Davis. He drafted him in the seventh round, so everybody passed up on this guy. But Al, being ahead of his time again, was the only one willing to let him to play baseball and football. And well, what a pleasure to watch him play.
Yeah, I agree. And having a chance to have met him when he won the Heisman, what was that, 1985 that he won the Heisman? 1985 or 86? But I was working in New York and got the opportunity to sit down with him. And we've had him on a few times, but going into the Kansas City Hall of Fame, Kansas City Royals Hall of Fame. Not sure why it took so long, but they're getting around to it. It's not like the Royals had so many players where you go, all right, Frank White, Amos Otis, John Mayberry, Mike Sweeney. Hey, Bo Jackson, why don't we put him in?
Well, they had UL Washington, the guy with the toothpicks, so you got to factor that guy in.
Hey, Todd.
How's it going?
How you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Hey, Marv.
Is somebody like Deion Sanders in the Atlanta Falcons Ring of Honor or whatever Hall of Fame? Because guys like that should always be in because of the relevancy that he gives a team. I'm not talking about Celtics or Lakers or Yankees where you have to be a Hall of Famer or anything like that, but somebody who brought relevance to your franchise.
Well, if you don't have Bo, then you don't have Deion trying to do what Bo did. And I always heard that Bo had a problem with Deion trying to emulate him. But Deion was obviously a Hall of Fame football player, but he was a very good baseball player and played for a few teams. But you know what? All he had to do was put the bat on the ball. Chances are he was going to beat it out. Yeah, Paul.
Deion Sanders did 5 years with the Atlanta Falcons. On three of those years, two of those years, he's first team all pro. 1 year, second team all pro.
Yeah,
I mean, he was all pro first team with three different franchises. That might be that's got to be a record.
Final hour on the way. We'll talk some football. We'll hear from Kirk Cousins. Talks about going to Atlanta. A lot of memes about Kirk Cousins in Atlanta. Maurice Jones-Drew, former NFL Pro Bowl running back, will give us his thoughts on everything that's transpired. Final hour on this Thursday on the way.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.